fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to pick up where I left off yesterday, which is kind of making our way through chapter 8 of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, which many scholars, teachers, and just ordinary folk like you and me who've read the scripture find in this chapter really the peak of God's revelation in some ways. So one of the most beautiful summaries of the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the heart of every person that turns to Jesus Christ, the gift that the Father offers in his Son Jesus, the life transformation, the beginning leading us from death to life and giving us a share in the very life that belongs to Christ to the degree that we become sons and daughters of God. And he touches on important themes, the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Son, Jesus' sacrifice, and what makes it possible for us to become children of God, to be set free from the powers of sin and death. And then he'll talk later about what it means to be a child of God and also the meaning of human suffering, something that I think all of us know and experience at different times in our lives. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I'd encourage you to go to our website, renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them on whatever device you have to listen to them at your leisure. Well, Paul began this chapter by just stating so clearly, he said, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He wants us to know right from the get-go, because of the saving work of Christ, that the reality of our falling short of fulfilling the law, the commandments of God, which leaves us in a place of separation from God and under condemnation and judgment. Paul says that problem, and he'll take it up here in detail in chapter 8, has been dealt with in the person of Jesus Christ, and those are united to him in baptism and have come alive into Christ in the gift, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, are being saved, and we're freed from this condemnation. And this is something that I think is very important to keep in mind, to commit to your memory, and to lay hold of and to stand in. Because the devil wants you to believe that your failings, your weaknesses, whatever, lead you again somehow into condemnation, that you fall short, that God is not happy with you. And he wants you to get into the struggle to perfect yourself, to become a Pelagian, to think that somehow your salvation fundamentally depends on you being your own savior. That is, you being perfect. You're perfect because you never sin. And you know, and God knows, scripture's clear that we do fall short and that we do sin. And that's why the Lord has given us in his church, he's given us the sacrament of reconciliation, of confession. But he's also given us fundamentally a position as sons and daughters of God before him. We're given access to the Father. He's our Father, and he loves us. And what the devil wants to do is to distort our self-perception and to distort our understanding of God and God's nature and God's favor and disposition toward us. God the Father loves you. I mean, you can't do anything about that. That's God the Father's nature. His love for you is infinite. It's divine love. It's never-changing love. He's not angry with you. He's not frustrated with you. He's not embarrassed by you. He doesn't want to judge you. What he wants you to know is that, as Jesus revealed, that God the Father is love. And it's love itself. It's the love of the Father, that love that begins in the heart of the Father, that gives to us a way out of condemnation, which is the free gift of Jesus Christ, his Son, in his death on the cross, in his resurrection, in his ascension into glory, and beginning for us all an entirely new creation. He's making us new. God's not surprised that you sin. God's not surprised that you've fallen short. All God wants is for you to say yes to him every day. And if you fall, come back, repent of your sin. You have a right as a son or daughter of God to go before God 70 times, 7 times a day, which is a way of saying an unlimited amount of time, an opportunity to go before God and to acknowledge your sin. He will not reject you. He will not forsake you. The only thing that can separate us from God is our saying yes to mortal sin and our refusal to repent and to turn to Him. He's always there, welcome and ready. And condemnation is not in God's vocabulary toward His children. It's not. So stand strong in this truth. Let this truth cleanse your mind. Let this truth fortify your heart and give you strength and to stand against the lies and the tactics of the devil, who's going to try to debilitate you. He's going to try to steal your confidence in God and somehow put you in a position where you feel condemned, where you're alien, that no matter what you do, he's going to try to get you on this treadmill where you're constantly trying to please God and earn God's favor. You got to get rid of that. God's favor is upon you. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. God calls you friend. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. He's not fickle. He's consistent. He's faithful. So take this fundamental truth that Paul gives us right here at the beginning of the chapter and stand against the tactics of the enemy and stand in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. I left off yesterday in verse 4, where Paul's describing, beginning in 3, he says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh." That is, he sent Jesus to take on human flesh, and through Jesus, the law, the requirement of the law, the just requirement of the law, what is justice? In this case, to give to God what belongs to God. How is that going to happen from a human heart? The human race has fallen short of that. We stand, therefore, alienated from God, and we do stand in condemnation apart from God's gift to us. Well, how that just requirement of the law is fulfilled is in the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus took on human flesh. He became one of us. And in his person, he gave to the Father what belongs to him. He goes on here in verse 4, "He condemns sin in the flesh by dying on a cross, by shedding his blood." He said, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, it was first fulfilled in Christ. How can that just requirement, that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, that comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, who, as I ended yesterday's program, gives us a heart of flesh, takes that heart of stone that resists God, and God in the Spirit gives to us a heart that loves God's will, that loves the commandments of God, that loves everything about God, and wants to live as a child and give to the Father what belongs to him. He said the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who's us? Paul goes on to say, those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so he makes the contrast between these two principles that are at work in us. One is sinful flesh, that concupiscence, that fallen dimension of our own being, which is at work still, but it doesn't have the power now to dominate our lives in which it once did. But there's something new in us. It's a new principle of life. It's the same principle that was in Jesus that allowed him, that moved him, Christ himself, united in the Spirit with the Father to give to the Father everything that belongs to him, to obey him, to love him. That's what Jesus said to us. You know, he commands us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. To love is a commandment, really. And all the commandments are expressions of that love. It's saying yes to God's will and God's purpose to us. So now there's a new spirit, there's a new life principle at work in you. And that principle gives you a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life, to day by day begin to yield yourself more and more to this work of God that's happening in you. You're not saving yourself. It's not your willpower. It's your saying yes in faith and living in trust and obedience to the work of the Spirit that's now present in you. So the law of the new covenant is the law of the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus gives to us. Verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." The question that faces us each day, friends, is where are you going to set your mind? What principle at work in you are you going to yield to? Are you going to look to? for truth, for guidance. You're going to look to the Holy Spirit for counsel, for truth, for wisdom, and to say yes to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you, leading you to be conformed to Christ, to literally become a saint? Or are you going to set your mind on the flesh? We know Paul makes so clear, has made clear to us, I mentioned it various times in the program, in Galatians, for example, he'll talk about the difference between the flesh and the spirit, the works of the flesh and the work of the spirit. I'll just read some of these to you because it's so clear. He said, he's exhorting the Galatians here to walk by the Spirit. He said, walk by the Spirit and don't gratify the desires of the flesh. So it's another way of saying set your mind. Set your mind on the Spirit. Don't set your mind on the flesh. For the desires of the flesh, they're against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would, what you're called to do. He says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, that principle of the flesh that dominates us. You're no longer subject to it. He says, now the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, a party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such as these there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So we'll talk tomorrow about Romans chapter 6, but what Paul is referring to here in Galatians is to say we're united in our baptism to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, where he put sin to death. He destroyed sin and death's power over human flesh. For all those who share in the redeemed humanity that's offered to us in Christ, we share in what belongs to Jesus. That power, the work of the flesh, no longer has dominion over us. So Paul says here in verse 25 of Galatians, if we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, and no envy of one another. Basically, live in love. So we have a new power now. The love of Christ has been poured into our hearts, he'll say here. But at this point in the passage, he's contrasting the principle of the flesh, the principle of the Spirit, and the different fruits that are born from either one of these, depending upon if we set our mind upon it. Now, verse 6, he'll say this, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Flesh leads to domination by sin, which leads to eternal death and separation from God. Setting your mind on the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in you, who's bringing the law of God alive in you and giving you a power and a capacity to say yes to it, that Spirit is the Spirit of life. It leads to life and peace, to internal harmony within you, within your own heart, and peace in your relationship with God, with Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, and peace with your brothers and sisters. This is what's being offered to us and is being worked out in us by God because of what Jesus has done in the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.